This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am delighted to be joined by a friend of mine who I've met at a few events, haven't I now, Andrea? Andrea Bronzini, all the way from Estonia. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
Andrea and I have met at a few Upreneur events, haven't we, over the past couple of years? I seem to remember it was a couple of years ago I first met you.
Yeah, I've been to all the three events, so I think, three times we met.
Well, I didn't go to the first one, so I think it was the second one that I met you at. So yeah, so that would have been 2018 when we first met. So yep. Andrea, well, I'm not going to murder an introduction to you. So Andrea, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, okay. So I am a conversion optimization specialist. This is what I deal with today. I run a boutique agency. And I come from, actually, I am an engineer. So I have a degree in electrical engineering and a major in robotics. Mm-hmm. And you can see that the theme of my entire career has been optimization and efficiency. So these kind of things, I really love them. And I have been doing SEO for a very long time. And then I switched to the other end of the funnel. So from the marketing, from bringing traffic to the website to the sales, so optimizing that traffic to make sales, right? Yep. So that is what I deal with today. And so I was saying a small agency, and I have clients that have pretty large websites. So my biggest clients, they have 18 million page views per month. So that's quite massive traffic.
I have clients that die for like a percentage of that.
Yes. So you understand the type of business I'm running. And what we do, we try to basically make more money to our clients with the traffic they have. All right. So we don't go to ask them to increase their traffic, but we try to use everything they already have to make more money, to convert more people. Mm-hmm. So there are many different ways to do conversion optimization, and it really depends on the kind of business you have. Because if you have an e-commerce business, that's, I would say, pretty easy. But if you have if you're selling digital products and your business is mainly providing information, then that's totally another kind of story, because people don't come to your website to buy. They come because they want to learn something, that they want to do something maybe by themselves. So there is no buying intent behind the visit, right?
Yep.
So then the conversion rate, I mean, the numbers are really, really different. They're much lower than on a e-commerce website. And the techniques you need to use in order to boost this conversion rate are very, very different.
Yeah, absolutely.
So most of conversion rate optimization agencies, they focus on e-commerce because, there are many, many e-commerce websites. There is a lot of money in this kind of industry, and it's easy to do it. But there are a lot of website owners. That's how I like to call them, website owners. Mm-hmm. That they have their small business and they're just selling digital products, and nobody wants to help them because just the volume of sales might not be at the level of e-commerce websites. Mm-hmm. So the agencies are not really interested to start with them. But this doesn't mean that that this kind of activity cannot be profitable, because you know very well that if you start selling digital products and you have a big traffic, you can make a lot of money.
So I understand that there's different types of website and therefore there's different types of conversion rate optimization for those websites, be it e-commerce or lead generation or that of a digital product. But you've then taken this a step further to look at the personality types of the people that are going to buy from you the most and the personality types of the traffic as well, haven't you? So do you want to dive into that a little bit for us?
Yes, absolutely. So just a little bit of background story. One of my biggest clients has a website that makes tests for personality typing. Okay. So that's where the experience comes from. I have seen the data. I have been working with personality types quite much. And we see clearly that the conversion rate for certain personality types is higher than the conversion rate for other types. Okay. So this means that the website somehow it appeals to different types of people in different way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we are trying to do, and this is totally, it's very experimental field because nobody's doing that. The problem is in the data. So these data are not available unless you know the type, the personality type of the user, right?
Yep.
So in this particular case, we know because they just took a test and we have the privilege to be able to make this kind of testing. What we are trying to do, we are trying to understand by their browsing behavior, if it's possible to understand their personality.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So without taking a test, basically. So that's where what we are researching right now in this particular regard. So. But does this apply to every website? Yes, it does. If your personality type is, for example, you are, we spoke about this, you are an ESFJ, right?
Yeah, so just for full disclosure here, this is the first time ever on any podcast, be it my own or somebody else's, that I've been asked to take a behavior test before the recording. So yeah, Andrea asked me to take a behavior test and I came out as an ESFJ-A, if that makes any difference. And my personality type was assertive console. There we go.
Yep. So that we are talking about MBTI. So this is the Myers-Briggs model.
Yep.
And there are 16 different personalities. Okay. So your particular one, you are ESFJ. And so you are a person that is particularly inclined to care about feelings and about feelings of other people. All right.
Yep.
So is it true?
Yeah. I have that. Yeah, generally that is true. I would say that about myself. I do worry that other people are, you know, what other people think, not necessarily what they think of me, but you know, what they think of like the product or the project or whatever it is that we're working on. Yeah.
And how do they feel about that? Is it correct? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you see your point of view, that's a very particular point of view. A person of another type, they perceive the world in a different way and they take decisions in a different way. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see a page, they might not respond the same way you do.
Yep.
They will not respond the same way you do. So the trick here is to find which are the groups of people in terms of personalities that are more abundant in your traffic and try to optimize for those. Because as we know, there are 16 different types, the distribution of these types in the population and in your traffic is not uniform. Okay. You have more of one personality and less of others. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at a chart here and in this particular data set, we have ENFP 6,551 like visits per month. And this is the top personality. And the smallest one is 937. So there is a difference of 7 times.
Yeah,
between the most frequent personality and the one that has less visits. Okay.
Yep, that makes sense.
So it makes sense to try to optimize for the group which has more people, right?
Yep.
Because yeah, with the same conversion rate, you can make more sales. But what happens is that if you are trying to optimize for those, you are kind of de-optimizing for all the other groups.
Yep.
All right. So what you want to do instead is to separate these people into different funnels so that you can optimize each funnel independently. And then you start to have a lot more sales.
So I understand that. That makes perfect sense. The question on everybody's lips, and I think I'm going to be right in asking this, is how do you create, for example, a landing page? So let's say we're talking about organic traffic here, or would you use paid traffic in order to fill your funnel, basically based on people's behavior? So how do you segment people at the top of the funnel in order to put them into the right one? That's really the question that I'm asking.
Yeah, and that's an excellent question. Actually, this is what we are researching right now. So one thing, I have to say that you get what you ask for, right? So your message will resonate with certain kind of people. So yep. If you build your entire marketing message for one type, you will get people of this type.
Yep.
Does it mean you have to make 16 different marketing messages? Well, to the extreme, yes. But if you analyze your traffic, you can see that, I mean, you know which kind of people you are attracting already. So you can focus on a few of these personalities. So maybe you come up with 4 different messages, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can make 4 different landing pages for these 4 different types. Now, I'm talking about personality types here because that's really what tips the scale. But as I said, not everybody has this data, so it's not really easy to work with personality types.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can do this with other type of information. And so we are talking about personalization.
Yep.
Okay. So you have personalization on one side, and on the other side, you have what I like to call personalityization. You see the difference?
Right. Okay. Yeah. 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 So personalization is making it into the individual, and personalityization is doing it to groups of people of similar personalities.
Exactly. So yeah. The groups of people of similar personality, they have in common that they take decisions in the same way. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you can leverage that. It's a little bit the story of benefits versus features in marketing.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see that is, I think it's a myth that we have to debunk, that we need to talk about benefits and emotions. Because it's not really like that. It depends on the type of users or visitors you are bringing to the website. Because if you talk to me, I'm not interested to know about benefits and emotions. I want to see the list of features and all the specifications. So because my type, I am an INTJ, which is, by the way, one of the most rare types of personalities. And we're kind of weirdos, if you want, you know, it's like there are less people like us. So we are not, I would say we are not well served by traditional marketing, right?
Yep.
So this happens just because, again, we are more rare and there is less people that are in our category, in our personality type. So the marketing is focusing on all the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to give you 2 numbers, the people which are like sensing and feeling, so they perceive the world through experience. They really want to see things. They want to touch things. They are emotional people. And they have this, they take decision based on feelings. Together, all these people amount for 46% of the population, all right? Mm-hmm. So that's why marketing is based on benefits and emotions. because they try to convert the 46%, while the other 54% is all scattered in different preferences. You see?
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, but it was true before the age of internet, but today online, I would say that things are a little bit different because introverts and intuitive people like like my type are more in the online world. All right. So there is plenty of people that really want to see the data sheet. They want to see the specifications. They want to see the features. Okay. So the marketing, if you market only benefits and emotions, you might not convert these people.
Yeah, that makes so. That makes sense. That makes sense. And it's the process for doing this is actually to understand. Firstly, you need to understand the complete ins and outs of what it is that you are marketing, but then to look at the different ways of viewing that. I'm going to call it a product, but it might not be a product. You know what I mean? That thing in the light of the different personality types that you want to attract.
Absolutely. Or the different focus for this product. For example, it's nothing to do with personality. Now we are talking about personalization. Mm-hmm. For example, you have a product that it can have multiple use. One of my clients, they are selling houses.
Okay.
You can buy a house because you want to live there, or you can buy a house because you want to rent it. Yep. Or maybe you want to resell it, right? So these are different uses of the same object. So in this case, you can personalize your page by making different pages for each different use, right?
Yep.
But this is like one degree of personalization. What you can do, you can build layers using data from users. So you know that, for example, they are young, they are just married. So this is a little bit the story of the customer persona, right? So mm-hmm. You build a customer persona, you have different metrics for this customer persona, and then you personalize the page according those metrics. But yeah.
Okay, so you're actually personalizing the page. So you run one page, and then there's personalization sections within that, whereby if the data shows that you are one personality type, then certain content displays, and it shows that you're a different personality type, then other content displays. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. So, but what I want to get, I want to clarify here is that the personality typing can be used, but it's not very often used because we don't have data. Okay. We don't have data. And again, we are researching on this to see if there is a way to profile these people with maybe three clicks on the website and understand what's their personality type. All right. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have this data, then you can use personalization, and you can use what is called like hyper-personalization, which is basically using different metrics to personalize different blocks of the page. Mm-hmm. So basically the page is dynamically generated based on the unique persona of the user, all right?
Yep.
So I'll make you an example. Let's say you have four metrics. Let's say you are a veterinary, and you have clients that might have a cat or a dog, yep. Or a cat and dog. So you have three buckets here, right?
Yeah. So either a cat or a dog, or a cat and a dog.
Absolutely. So three buckets, one metric. Then you have another metric that says, okay, this is a puppy, is an adult, or is old animal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you have another bucket where you have, do you have kids in the house? No, you don't have kids in the house. And then another bucket where you say, I want to have kids.
Yep.
Right. And then the final one is a fourth metric where you have other three buckets, and you have, I am, I am interested in the fitness of my pet, or I'm interested in health, or I'm interested in the looks, right?
Yep. Okay.
So you see, now we have four metrics, and each of them has three buckets. Mm-hmm. So all together, we have 81 different combinations.
Okay. I can't do the math that fast. I'll take your word for it.
it's 3 by 3 by 3 by 3.
By three. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So, fair enough. Yeah.
9 by 9, 81. So then you have 81 different cases, and these are basically 81 different customer personas.
Yep.
All right. So it's not practical to make 81 different landing pages.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, we build the page in blocks of conditional content.
Yeah.
And we display in each block the content that goes with that specific user.
Yep.
All right. So the page that the user sees is super personalized, is hyper personalized to the user himself.
Yep.
I can tell you there are buckets that there are pages that have zero people in there because there is no combination of that particular type of persona. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that are more frequent, some that are not. But if you build up a system that will generate the page automatically, you don't have to worry about making all the combinations like hard coded. And later you can go and see in your statistics which combination, which personas are most frequent and so on.
Yep.
But the point is that everybody will see exactly what they need to see.
Yes.
Okay. So the question here is, how do you collect data?
Yep, because I understand
that. It is quite easy to build up a page like this. You can, well, it requires a little bit of development, but you can think to make it, for example, even with the Google Tag Manager,
mm-hmm.
you can just read cookies. If you have this information the data about the user, you can store it in cookies, and then you can read the cookies with Google Tag Manager, and you can modify the page to show or hide the content, the block of content, which is relevant to the user, right?
Yep.
So this is technically easy to do. The problem is to collect data, because one thing we notice with our clients is that people don't stay on the site for very long, especially if they don't find information that resonates with them. We see that the average user journey is like 3 pages. And yeah. Some of them have bounce rate, which is in the 70%. So basically, this is a very important issue that we spend thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, to make a website that is beautiful and you have like a good user experience, beautiful UI, and then people come and see just 3 pages.
Yeah.
So yeah. This is something I always pick this bone with designers, because really we are focusing on the wrong thing. Probably we need to make the session longer. Okay, we need to keep the user on the website, and you understand that if your user is browsing 3 pages, it's very hard to collect data because they don't make enough clicks.
Yeah.
So there are basically 4 ways to solve this issue of collecting data. The first one is to use some kind of service. And there is one which is called Write Message. I don't know if you know them.
I haven't heard of that one, no, but I'll go and check them out.
Yeah, so they pop a little one-question survey on the site, and this question is trying to get that data you want. For example, do you have a dog, a cat, or a cat and a dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just click and the thing is done. But the problem with that is that, again, if your average user just sees 3 pages and you have to collect 4 data points, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, okay.
You see? So you need to find a different way. Another way is to use email automation. So you can put the user in a email funnel, and then you send them emails with these questions. They have to click a link, no? And when they click a link, you tag them. Either they have a cat, a dog, or cat and dog. And so you collect data that you can use later. But the problem with this is that, one, your user has to be in the email automation software. So yep. they must have done this step already, and you know that you are not converting this many users, maybe 20%. And after that, you need 4 clicks in the email automation software.
Yep.
So in the end of the story, you are going to be able to profile just probably 1% of your traffic.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is very tiny. So even this method, it's not very good. The other method is, we spoke about this already, is to just track their browsing. So you get a sense of what they're interested in. And again, this works, but if they see 3 pages, it doesn't. It cannot work.
Yep.
So finally, the best way to do this is just to ask them. So to run a questionnaire or quiz or test or survey on your page.
Yep.
And the moment they take this questionnaire, they basically give you all the answers at once. Okay?
Yep.
So my point here is that you should have an assessment questionnaire on your website, and you should get the data you need in order to make hyper-personalized pages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I wouldn't recommend to just make a questionnaire to collect data, because this is very dry and people don't like it. I mean, they shouldn't understand that you are just harvesting data. That is not nice. But you need to give them something in return. So you really want your assessments to give some value, all right? And this is where you can actually combine the hyper-personalization with the collection of data. So your hyper-personalized page can actually be the outcome of the assessment.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to wrap that up, there's, I won't run through all the options again, but basically the best way to actually approach this would be to run a survey on your website, which would be some kind of, I suppose it could be in some kind of chatbot or pop-up or that kind of thing, that actually asks the questions that you need to ask, but it's embodied in a sort of user experience thing that feels natural, feels good, feels high quality, all of that kind of stuff. And then off the basis of that, you can then start hyper-personalizing the pages that the user sees from that point onwards.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I mean.
And I presume from that point onwards, as long as you've got the permissions to do so, you can store that information in a cookie so that if they then revisit you in, I don't know, within 30 or 90 days or whatever you set the cookie to be, then they don't see that again. They just automatically see the personalized content.
Correct. Yes, yeah. You are absolutely right. So once you give them this page, which is hyper-personalized, you basically manage to increase relevance, right?
Yep.
And trust, because they get this experience. They see, oh my God, these people are doing exactly what I need. Right.
Yeah.
And you can, for example, embed links to your content which are relevant to this specific user. So, for example, you have videos, you have blog posts, and this can be a very long page with all the resources they need to see in order to create this bond with your brand, with your website. Right.
So, and I also presume then that you're also including like sign up links into personalized funnels then as well. So it's not just the content on the page. I suppose it is the content on the page because it's the form that you use or whatever, but you're then tagging them appropriately so that they go down the, I forgot my personality type, the assertive console version of your funnel, should they then sign up to, you know, get more information or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So the now we go back to the personality types. Now you are seeing a page which is very personalized for you. It's hyper personalized. And at the end of the story, I have to convert the user, right? So this user has to buy. Now, that buy button, the message on that buy button has to, I mean, should be customized to the personality type of the user, okay?
Yeah.
Because the situation you're in is one thing, but your personality type is totally another thing, okay? We might have people that are in the same situation. So they all have the cat and they like the looks of the cat and they have kids in the house and yada, yada, yada. But the way they think is different.
Mm-hmm.
So I if I show them the same button with the same message, I will convert some of them very easily because the message is right. And some of them will not convert it as easy because the message is wrong.
Yeah.
You see? So that's where knowing the personality type comes handy. But again, you need to kind of figure out what is the personality type. And you can do that if you make a custom made assessment, because you can ask a little bit of extra questions so you can understand either this person makes decision based on feelings or on data, right? So if you add these 2-3 more questions, you can kind of understand what kind of person you are dealing with.
Yep.
And you can bundle this into the hyper personalization thing. So also the text on your call to action is personalized.
You know, this is a really, really interesting topic, and one that you can obviously sort of dive really far down into. I suppose the final piece of this jigsaw is then how much of this data do you then pass back to the client? So for example, do you, let's say, for example, you're running this on more of a lead generation website rather than an actual product. Do you then pass this information to a sales team so that they know the user type that they're going to be ringing up, for example? So I don't know.
Yes. So this is exactly what we do.
Yep.
So we do, it's everything is done on the site of the client. So actually you are not passing information. They have it already.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. Just for full disclosure, I didn't mean sending data. I meant, do you allow them to view it so that they know the customers that they're dealing with before they pick up the phone, for example, if that's the next part of the.
It is. So the sales team, they have full access to this to the answers, right?
Yep.
So when they start a conversation, they know already which are the points that you value the most. For example, we have a questionnaire for the houses I was talking about before. And we ask people, why do you want to build this house? What is that... of course they want to live there. They want to, but why do you like this particular house? Is it because, I don't know, the energy efficiency? Is it because the way it looks, it is because you like green living and these kind of things. So mm-hmm. once they answer this question, and we have 6 options on this, we know exactly what is their drive. Okay.
Yep.
And when we know that, if we start talking to them, we know what is the focus of the conversation.
Yep.
If I'm a salesperson and I know that you are interested in energy efficiency, I will not start telling you how beautiful the house is, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No.
So basically, the more data points you get, the more you can personalize the marketing, the conversion funnel, and the sales talk if people are actually talking to clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess you can then take that a step further. So applying it into my own situation of running a digital agency, that could then mean that I assign a client to a particular project manager, for example, because I know that that project manager has a personality type that can deal with or work in the way of the personality type of the end client. So you're not going to get frictions between people. That's not because either of them are doing anything wrong. It's just that one personality type doesn't necessarily communicate in a way that's clear to the other personality type. And that's all it comes down to. So you can really even streamline your own business by having this level of information. It really is very clever.
You are absolutely right. I mean, people communicate with people, and sometimes you don't understand each other. Not because one is less clever than the other, but just because their communication is on different levels. They focus on different top aspects of the conversation, and they don't get each other.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. It's like having it's like having two aeroplanes flying from one airport to a departure airport to exactly the same destination airport. They're just flying at different altitudes.
Yep, absolutely. So yes, making sure that, for example, even clients, I for myself, for my business, I try to work with clients which are mostly into three personality types. Because I know that if I start to work with other clients, they will not appreciate my methods as much, because they don't have the way they think is different.
Mm.
Okay, so you want to get on board clients that really get you, not clients that you need to push hard to convince.
Yeah, yeah. No, that all comes down to essentially making the path of least. So this is where actually you're taking the I'm going to say old school, although conversion rate optimization isn't that old school anyway, but you know what I mean? The original concepts of conversion rate optimization, which is essentially removing barriers, removing roadblocks, making things obvious, making sure that things are worded in a way that are proactive rather than reactive or whatever, all of those kind of old school tactics, but you're putting them on steroids, because you're then empowered to make one set of tactics for one set of personalization, a different set of tactics for another personalization, et cetera, so that it makes sense to the user at the other end.
Yeah. So we still do the traditional conversion optimization thing. So we provide clarity, we try to establish trust, and we remove fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But we do it in a way, using this framework of hyper-personalization, we do it in a way that it's more natural to the user. It becomes really more clear, because they say, hey, this is me.
So just to sort of bring this full circle then, and I'm asking this more as a personal point of a geeky kind of nature than anything else. I presume you then also have a kind of unpersonalized version of the page, which is essentially what Google will see. So I'm thinking back, just bringing this background in terms of your generic SEO. The Google bot needs to be able to render a version of the page, and you're not going to get any information from the Google bot about personality types or anything like that. So you're going to need, you also need to provide a sort of generic version of the page, which is the SEO optimized version, if you see what I mean. And that is what you're, in terms of your SEO work, that's the side of the page that you're actually putting the work into for search engines. And then your personalization work then goes into the dynamic content that can be switched out if you have the data.
Yes, so you are absolutely correct. So one thing is, I would not recommend trying to make the entire website hyper-personalized, because this would be a gigantic work. You probably cannot do that. So
yeah, you sell pets to one set of customers and Windows to another set, because it's that personalized. You just need one website for the entire internet.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Basically, the internet is hyper personalized, right?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, if you start with this assessment, that's your hyper personalized page, and if you want, the user is able to save the results, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that page can become the home page for the user.
Yep.
Makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said before, on that page, you want to have all the resources that are relevant to the user. So that's one approach. So another aspect of this thing is that you can use as personalization data, you can use the browsing behavior. So I'll make you an example. You have a home page, which is the same for everyone. And then I start to dive deeper into the funnel, into the website, mm-hmm. and I see some pages, okay? When I come back on the home page, you might add conditional blocks of content that kind of pitch the pages I've already seen.
Okay.
So why? Because you want to drive me down in a funnel, as we said before, that most people just see three pages, okay? Mm-hmm. But if I go two clicks inside the funnel, you know that I'm progressing, but then I go back to the homepage. You can give me a shortcut to go back to the two clicks inside the funnel. If you put a kind of banner call to action on the homepage, because you know that I've seen already that page.
So it's a little bit like kind of an abandoned cart kind of functionality, but not for a cart, just for essentially for driving traffic back to
for parts of the funnel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know that your funnel, especially if you have a business where you have to explain things, right?
Yep.
Again, I made the example of the houses. You understand that to sell a house, you need to talk a lot. There is a lot of information there that you need to convey to the client.
Yep.
So you probably have many, many pages in your funnel. It's not just three pages. And you need people to read this information. So if you made it three pages down the funnel and then you go back to the homepage, I want you to go back where you left.
Yep.
So I can use this entire concept of conditional content, which is basically is the cornerstone of this thing, is the conditional content, that I can put this conditional content on the homepage and I can show it to you. And then you have the opportunity to click there and go back in the mid funnel where you left.
Yep. That makes sense. And that also means that you're then not reliant on that linear journey of the funnel from start to finish, but that the user can then
honestly
come back in at the point.
Honestly, I would say that nobody is, because we know very well that users don't just stay in the funnel. They like to go everywhere.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Let's say we are trying to catch the user the moment he's trying to leave the funnel.
Yeah.
We don't do it with an exit pop-up, because maybe the user is not even thinking of leaving the site, but they're just exploring. And when people explore, they go back and forth a lot of time. So you really want to make sure, and this is something that it is easy to do, again, if you just put some hidden div in the homepage, you can inject content in there with Google Tag Manager.
Yep.
So that's a very, very easy thing to do. You just log with cookies. You can log which pages the user has seen. And then based on the cookies that the user has at that very moment, you can inject the conditional content on the homepage.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay?
So your homepage becomes personalized to the journey of that specific user.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't even require much data. So you just get in data on the fly based on the user journey. And I would say this is the easiest type of personalization you can make.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, this is obviously a huge topic and we could talk about it for ages. If guys want to reach out to you, or gals, of course, want to reach out to you and, maybe follow what you're doing a bit or interact with you, what's the best way that they can get in touch with you?
So I made a page especially for your audience. So if you go on pete.websiteowners.club, you can find this page, and it's a little bit a wrap up of this entire conversation I have there.
Yep. Fantastic. I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes. I'm assuming there's links, et cetera, off to, or from there, they can also find, I don't know, social profiles or whatever of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrea, thank you so much for your time. This is, I hope, guys, that you can see that Andrea is a seriously intelligent bloke when it comes to this stuff. And it is a bit like an onion, that you can always peel off more and more layers and go further and further. And we were never going to cover it all in one podcast. So I really do thank you for your time, mate. And we can always arrange another episode in the future to go into this even further. And I'd love to know the results or some of the decisions you make in the future as you're conducting this research and then developing this even further.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and I will really be happy to be on another episode talking more about this stuff.
Fantastic. Cheers, Andrea. Speak to you soon.
Bye.